Welcome to another episode of Badass Banking. And today I'm with Alana Levine, and I just spent 5 minutes learning how to pronounce her first name. How are you today?
Doing great, Brian. How are you? Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Tell us where you're from today, or where you are.
I'm actually calling from a little part of Vancouver Island called Comox. So a group of friends and I actually rented a house down here. So we're here for the week.
Wow, that's pretty neat. Is this vacation, or is this, are you on the clock right now?
I'm on the clock. I'm always on the clock, let's be honest.
Well, that's because you're the Chief Revenue Officer of Fintel Connect, and I know you're very passionate about growth marketing. You're going to tell us right now what the heck Fintel Connect is.
All right. So Fintel Connect is actually, we call ourselves a performance marketing company, and we work specifically in the financial services space. So we work with fintechs, banks, and insurance companies to help drive growth. So that's what we do. We have technology, we have our network of publishers. So the whole idea behind this is driving value and cost-effective growth for our partners.
All right, tell me what performance marketing is, because everyone has a slightly different definition.
It's true. It really is. I always ask that question, actually, when I end up speaking to people, because everyone has their different baseline. So the way I typically describe it is, if you look at acquisition marketing as a whole in digital, you have all these different channels that you can use, whether it's paid search, paid social, display, or just flat fee advertising. And they all typically are based on either a placement fee or impressions or clicks. In our world, performance marketing means you're really only paying for the results that you get. So it's directly tied to the conversions that a bank or fintech is looking to achieve. So that's how we work.
So you're putting your money where your mouth is, in essence, right? You're promising a return, and you're saying, we're not going to get paid until there is one.
That's it. That's exactly right. It's shared value. And the medium that we use to drive this type of performance-based marketing is through what we call our influencers or publishers. So if you see most people, if I mention, you know, an influencer publisher, a really big one would be a NerdWallet. Everybody is really familiar with them. But then you have these kind of micro affiliates and macro affiliates or influencers, which could be bloggers, podcasters. All of these people have something to say, and they have a following because they're a trusted source that people go to for advice. And in the financial services space, it could be a moneyunder30.com. It could be millennialmoney.com, which actually just got acquired by the Motley Fool. A lot of activity in the space. But these partners actually will talk about financial services, do reviews of the different products, and they work on that results basis. So through this channel, basically, banks can not only build their brand visibility, but they actually get these great third-party endorsements from these influencers. And these influencers are only really getting paid when a customer becomes a customer.
Let me ask you a question. In light of COVID, are you seeing more demand for your kind of product?
It's interesting. The answer, short answer is yes. I think because a lot of our partners are having to look at better managing their budgets. And it's a lot easier to be able to justify spending when you know that you're basically getting guaranteed results. What we have seen is actually a shift in the focus of products with some of our partners. So on the lending side, we've actually seen a decrease in appetite, mainly because our clients that work on the mortgage and lending side, as well as on the credit card side, have looked at adapting just their business models. I think everybody really has, which we've seen. But on the investment side, on the deposits and savings side, we've seen a huge increase with some of our partners. So there have been shifts, but I think the appetite has definitely increased because of just the value that the channel brings.
Gotcha. Okay. And who are some of your clients today?
So we are very established in Canada. So our business, I'm on this little island in Comox, but our business is actually in Vancouver on the West Coast. So our clients in Canada range from really enterprise clients like Scotiabank, Tangerine Bank, all the way down to smaller fintechs like Borrowell, who's a competitor of Credit Karma, or Mogo is a digital bank. So there's a range. We've just actually moved into the U.S. Earlier this year through our participation in the ICBA ThinkTech Accelerator, which was very exciting for us. And that kind of gave us an entry point into our relationships in the community banking space. And so our first kind of few clients that we've gone live with this year, or going live with, are First Scotia out of New York, so upstate New York, for their mortgage products. Quantic Bank is another one out of New York, which I know you know Patrick very well. So that's
I know
fun.
Patrick, yeah, Patrick. I know Charles and Kevin from the ICBA.
Oh, you know. They're amazing. They're all amazing. It's been it's been the best launching point, I think, for our business. A, because when you get to connect with all of these banks in a very kind of collaborative way, you get to hear straight from them what their pain points are, and we're not having to assume going into a conversation what exactly it is that they're trying to solve. They're very open. So it's given us a really great opportunity to kind of get inside and understand how we can best contribute and add value. So that's been great.
Well, you connected with some good ones there. Tell me about what you're doing with Quantic. You know, I've spent some time with Patrick in the past, and Patrick's actually going to be doing a Breaking Banks with me, Brett King, and the CEO of Movin in a couple of weeks. We're actually recording next week, but it's for a show that'll broadcast on the 19th.
Exciting. Have to let me know when it goes live. I'll have to
It's tied to a secret project we're all working on, which is kind of fun.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll have to needle you to find out more.
Yeah.
So on the Quantic side, when we first got connected with Patrick and his team, the key objective really was for them in two parts. They're a bank who has currently a small footprint in their area, and they're looking to play big. So what better way for them to build their brand visibility and get out in a broader audience than to be able to leverage the voices of these influencers to help tell their story? So that was really the primary driver. As they look specifically at the products and where they're wanting to drive growth, we started with the mortgage side and then on the deposit side. So we get to connect with their basically online account opening platforms who help facilitate what we do on the tracking side, because we can't do what we do unless we know where the results are coming from. And to do that, we need to connect with those platforms. So it's been really great from that standpoint. I think they've been a really great pioneer, I think, for us in the States. Because of their appetite for growth. And the other side of things is, I know Patrick has a lot up his sleeve and what he's working on, but True Digital is another initiative that he is heavily focused on that I know we've touched on that we're wanting to get involved with and support. So all of the programs he's looking to put together to create this turnkey solution, we'll be able to kind of contribute to that on the growth side. So once a bank has their foundation, they have their account opening, they have the team and structure in place within the organization to be able to make it all happen, we can come in and become that arm that plugs in and basically can help drive their growth based on their goals.
Yep. It sounds like what you're doing is you're helping banks become their own challenger banks to a certain extent. You're getting them to change the conventional thinking of how they attract new markets and retain them. And you're making it a little more contextual. If you're tying into influencers, there's almost an emotional aspect to it as well, because people listen to podcasts and listen to certain influencers.
You're an influencer, Brian.
In my own mind. Patrick is an emerging influencer. I mean, you know, he's building, I think he's going to create a clothing line tied to hats, from what I can tell.
I am still waiting on my hat, Patrick, if you're watching.
You know, what I tell people is ultimately we're all influencers, right? We all have influence over somebody or something. And, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes I think the influencer label is overplayed. I actually, on Instagram, I watch Influencers in the Wild. If you ever get a chance, watch it. It's all the stupid. All the stupid things that some influencers do on camera in order to stage a photo. It's mostly the Instagram influencer.
The sucking in and the.
yeah. It's just, you know, some of the stupid things they do. You know, posing in front of a moving jet, for example, things like that.
Oh, that sounds safe.
So back to fintech, real quick. I mean, I know you're Canadian based, and I'm sure you follow what's going on in the fintech world as a whole.
Is
there a fintech either in Canada or in the U.S. that's really caught your eye and kind of resonates with you, that excites you? Is there one you can think of at the top of the head?
How do you pick? That's the problem. There's so many.
Yeah. I'll give you mine.
Okay,
while you think
go for it.
I'm a big believer in Square.
Okay.
You know, what I find most interesting is the ability to move cash instantly. And I do that because when I was with GZO, we had expense management stuff. We had to reimburse employees quickly, or, you know, every once in a while I'd lend some short-term funds to the company. I could do it through Square very seamlessly. And it created a receipt and a ledger for me. For my kids, I have one in college and I have one that graduated. It's just easy for me to, give them a couple bucks when they need it here and there, and it's instant.
That's a slippery slope.
It is. When I was a kid, it was like I had to beg mom and dad. There was no instant gratification. I had to wait for a check. I had to go to the bank. Now it's just like, it's a quick click. It's amazing. How about you?
So for me, I think, and it's exactly what you said, there's so many fintechs out there. And I think the ones that really can pinpoint and hone in on a real pain point that people have are going to do well. And so, because there are a lot that are chasing a problem that maybe doesn't necessarily need a solution, or the solutions that are there are sufficient enough. So I think if I had to pick, can I pick two? Am I allowed to pick?
You can have three.
I get three? Okay, maybe I'll take three. So I would look at it from a B2B standpoint, so fintech supporting banks, and then a B2C standpoint on the consumer side. So on the B2B, I'll give two. I think, I can't pick. I have so many. One is, I would say what we've recently connected with is a company called Mantle, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yep.
And I'm giving them a shout out because we've had to connect with a ton of different account opening platforms in Canada and the US. And what they've done is they've basically looked end to end at what a bank's challenge will be in setting something like this up. And they've made it really easy for us to connect our tracking. So for that alone, allowing us to basically plug in our analytics and our technology connection, it's just so seamless that to me, I'm like, they've really thought this out and they've looked at all of the pain points. So that's one. LendSmart's another, who were actually a client of ours, and we're launching some of their alternative lending products. But what they've done is they've looked at the pain point of the home buyer and given the bank efficiencies to help basically mortgage applications be processed and underwritten really quickly and efficiently, which is huge right now because of just the volume and the demand that's in the market. But then they've looked at tying in this marketplace component where, if you're a home buyer, you're not just looking at your mortgage, you're looking at home insurance, inspections, renovations. And wouldn't it be really cool for a bank to be able to offer a marketplace of local services? They support their local businesses, and then they also provide a value-add service to their clients. So we love that as well. I think that's just a pain point, real solution. And then on the consumer side, I'll pick maybe one. We work with a client of ours in Canada called Moves Financial. And what they've done is they've said, hey, there's a ton of people who are working in the gig economy. They can't get access to funding or lending because they're non-traditional. They have a regular income. So what they've done is they found a new way to basically underwrite the loans using their income and other historical information about them so that they can get access to the funds that they need in a short term. So I think that's another real problem, real world solution. So yeah. So cut me off there because I could go on.
No, I love that. And I like the fact that you zero in on the friction, the points of pain. I tell that anyone that's, building a marketing plan for a startup or a established brand, understand the points of pain by segment, right? And understand that there are many ways to solve that point of pain. So those are great. That's excellent invite. What was the last company you mentioned? Did you say Move? M like a cow? or M O V E?
M O V E S. Yeah, like okay. Move.
Oh, got it. Moves. All right. I'm jotting this down right now. Got it.
They're on the go.
Yeah, they're on the go.
They're going places.
I get it. Well, listen, that's been awesome. And I appreciate everything that you offered up today. It sounds like you guys are doing some really cool stuff. I'll tell you, you've got a lot of enthusiasm. that goes a long way, even in Canada, I think, right?
I know. And we're very enthusiastic up here. We may apologize for a lot of things.
Well, I think we have a lot to apologize down here in the as well. I'm not going there though.
I can't tell you how many people have said, you know what, if you can offer me a job up in Canada, I may just take you up on it post November.
Yeah. I'm hoping things settle down regardless of who wins. I'm not gonna get into politics. Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate you being on Badass Banking today.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'll put all your contact info in the comments below, both on Spotify and on YouTube, and hopefully some people will reach out to you. How did you and I first connect? Was it through James Robert?
It was through Patrick.
It was through Patrick. Okay.
Yeah. Patrick is very good at connecting great people. When he said I needed to speak with you, it was a no-brainer. And now you've got a new follower on Twitter. And now I'm going to have to check out your next session that you have in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one. And Patrick doesn't know the whole story on that one yet. So don't, you know, I can't give you any details.
I won't. No spoilers. No spoilers.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's been great. And I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Brian. We'll talk to you soon.